Hey y'all, I'm going to take a look at Luke's account of the Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9. It starts in verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silence and told no one in those days of anything of what they had seen. This is one of the densest passages of Scripture. And by that I mean it is referring to, quoting, alluding to so many other pieces of Scripture. We could say both old, pointing forward, pointing backward, that it really is hard to even begin to underline everything that is going on here. But we'll try to highlight some of the big things. First, Jesus takes Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain. Jesus usually takes Peter, John, and James at the most important moments, the raising of a little girl from the dead, into the Garden of Gethsemane, before the work of the cross. So this is Jesus' inner circle, and he is taking them to see something really important, something that they are going to need to be able to endure the coming of the cross, to be able to understand what's happened after the crucifixion and resurrection. They go up on the mountain to pray. Mountains in Scripture generally all interpret one another. In other words, when we think of a mountain in prayer, we should immediately think back to Moses on Mount Sinai. We should think to Elijah on Mount Sinai. All of those things are going on. And of course, this underlies the importance of prayer for Jesus' ministry, that even he, the Son of God, the Word of the Father, needs prayer in order to be able to accomplish what he's called to accomplish. Of course, he's transformed. He is changed. His clothing is changed. His face was altered. This should remind us of Moses, who, when he went up on Mount Sinai, radiated with a glow from the presence of God. The difference here is that Moses radiated that presence when he himself beheld God. And in this case, Jesus is radiating that light. In other words, it's another indication of Jesus' divinity, of his identity with the Father. And then it says two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. Well, this is most appropriate because these are the two major figures. There's a number of reasons this is appropriate. One, Moses cut the covenant with God on Mount Sinai. Number two, Elijah went to Mount Sinai and said, "It's all over, God. Everybody's rejected you." And God said, "No, there's many who haven't bowed the knee, and I've got a job for you." So both of these men interceded with God on Mount Sinai, and that's connected to God's purposes with his people. But the other reason it's appropriate is that Moses and Elijah are a way of summing up the entire Old Testament. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. And it says they appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. That word departure in Greek is exodos, and that should sound familiar. It's exodus. They were speaking of the exodus that Jesus was about to undertake. They're not talking about his departure from life to death. They're not talking about his departure from Jerusalem. Jesus is a new Moses about to lead the people of God in a new exodus. The original exodus was an exodus from slavery in Egypt to freedom to become the people of God. This exodus is an exodus from slavery to sin, so that the followers of Jesus can be set free from the fear of death and become sons and daughters of God, serving God. That's a very important word in this passage. Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. This is not uncommon in Scripture, that when God manifests himself, people are undone as if in death or undone as if in sleep. This happened to Abraham. It happened in many places. But then, you know, they wake up and Peter's just now on the scene checking things out. And he suggests making a booth. Well, this is probably to do with the Feast of Booths, which is around the time anyway. And it was a festival in which the people of God dwelt in booths for a week to commemorate the Exodus from Egypt. So there's another Exodus theme. Of course, as in many cases, Peter is largely ignored in what he says. It seems as though he was just trying to fill the space, and of course, it wasn't necessary. Then it says a cloud came and overshadowed them. That should remind us of the cloud that overshadowed Sinai, of the cloud of God's glory that overshadowed the tabernacle, later the temple, the same presence of God that overshadowed Mary so that she conceived Jesus. It is that same presence of God that overshadows them. And then a voice came from heaven. And this is really crucial because this should take us back to when Jesus is baptized. Actually, there's at least three references here. The scripture says, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." This is my son. Takes us to Psalm 2, when it says that God says, "You are my son, this day have I begotten you." But there's probably also a reference in the chosen one to Abraham offering up Isaac. And when God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him up on the mountain that I will show you." This is probably an echo of that. And then finally, when it says, "Listen to him," this goes all the way back to Deuteronomy 18:15, when Moses again said, "Listen, in the latter days, God is going to raise up a prophet like me. Listen to him." So all of these scriptures are coming together in this moment. And again, a voice from heaven takes us back to Jesus' baptism and commissioning by the Spirit. So I think that this is God's way of preparing the disciples for the cross, of underlining the truth of what he's saying, of giving them insight later on into who Jesus was and what he did. In fact, in Peter, Peter discusses this very moment, as well as John in the first letter of John. They both refer back to this moment. So this was a pivotal moment for the disciples, because I think it was a preview of the resurrection. It was a preview of Jesus' life as he's raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father. And so it gave energy and hope and joy to the disciples after the resurrection, when they understood that they had seen a vision of the resurrection ahead of time. Verse 36, "And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen." Of course, because I don't think at that moment they could have taken all in. And it, of course, later on, it says that as they began to study the scriptures, they began to see Jesus in all those places. But of course, as Luke will say later in Acts, the Christ had to suffer before entering into his glory. So it was appropriate that Jesus then goes back into hiding, as it were. He goes back incognito to carry out his mission. So may we behold Jesus. Over in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul says that we all, with unveiled face, beholding him, are changed from one glory into another. So may we, in the pages of Scripture and by the power of the Holy Spirit, continually behold the risen one, so that we can be changed and transformed and shine his light into the world. Amen.